Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Praise the Lord. You believe that? How many of you received that? I'm not just talking to hear my lips flap, man. You know, when something moves, huh? I want you to turn in your Bibles real quick. Stay standing very, very quick. It's to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah. It's in the Old Testament. It's a book that begins with Z, if you can't find it. Amen. There's a couple, so don't be confused. Zechariah. We're going to look at two verses, Zechariah chapter 4. And the title of this message, we're continuing on in our transformation series. In fact, it's called Transformation Series. Because some of you know, we need to transform. We need to see this nation transformed for the glory of God. Anyone believe that with me? Amen. And it starts individually as we begin to transform. And this message is entitled "Transforming Your Problems." How many of you have ever had a few little problem in your life recently? Any problems that have happened? Like, wow, where did that come from? Wave your hand in here. Let me see if I'm in the right place. Amen. Because if you find that there's more than a few people that have been going through the same stuff, then generally God wants to speak to the body about that thing. So Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, and it says this. It says, "So he answered and said to me," that's the Lord is speaking through his prophet. "He answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it.'" Praise the Lord. Amen? Yes. Just before you're seated, turn around, tell someone, problems ended. And then you can take your seats. Amen. There comes times in our lives when God wants us to have an assurance of the future that he has for us. And this is important for our faith because we will do, and maybe even are right now, encountering some form of opposition or problems or doubts or fears that can bring our walk with Jesus to a standstill. Have you ever found that? That you're walking along with the Lord, you're walking in faith, you're going along with God, and then all of a sudden something will stand in your way. An opposition, some problem, some situation or circumstance, and it can bring you to a screeching halt. Has anyone ever found that out? You ever faced that? It's common, man. It's what they call Tom Jones syndrome. Amen? It's not unusual. The portion of scripture that we're looking at right now, it speaks of a time in the history of God's chosen people, the Israelites, when they were returning to their rightful place from exile in Babylon. See, they were there in the land of Israel, and they had everything that God promised to them, but then they started to turn away and they started to follow other idols and they started to bow down and worship other things. And eventually another people came in and they took them captive, tore down their temple, and they took them into a place called Babylon. But here we see in this portion of scripture, we see that there's a returning taking place. How many of you know God's merciful? There are times in our lives when temptation comes and we turn away from God, or an opportunity comes and maybe people turn away from God. You know, they take the door of distraction or the door of destruction instead of just walking straight through the door of destiny that's in front of them. But God is merciful and he brings them round and he brings them back. And then he leads them. He releases them from captivity under a guy by the name of Zerubbabel. Amen, which is a fantastic name. Try saying it. Try saying it, just to exercise your lips a little bit. Zerubbabel. Amen. I love doing things. Zerubbabel. Huh? It's lucky you weren't eating hubba-bubba with Zerubbabel. I'm sure that the worship team do all that stuff before the service. They're all up there. They make funny noises, man. They're like, that's how they practice. But the leader of this group was a guy by the name of Zerubbabel. He was of the royal line. He was possibly a priest or whatever. There's different commentators say different things. But he led the first group of Jews back in the first year of a king by the name of Cyrus. Cyrus. Amen. He was a Mede who had taken over the empire of Babylon. He was a warrior king. Now, this guy, Cyrus, is very important, especially to Victory Outreach. You don't realize, some of you, how important this guy, Cyrus, is to this ministry. See, nearly 150 years before Cyrus was born, a prophet by the name of Isaiah foretold his birth, his name, and the things that Creator God was going to do through this man by the name of Cyrus. And then one day, Cyrus was shown the scripture. Check it out. Imagine you're reading, I read in the Bible all the time where God speaks to me by name. The Apostle Paul. Huh? I hope I don't have to go through all the things he went through. Shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, waxed, all the stuff. But imagine in that time, this king came along by the name of Cyrus, and then someone showed him a scripture from 150 plus years before he was born, mentioning him by name and then saying what he was about to do. This scripture is familiar to us in Victory Outreach because it's in Isaiah chapter 45. Check it out, verse 1. It says, "Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I've held." Imagine reading that. Wow, that's me. Huh? "To subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness." How many treasures out of darkness we got in the house? People that were in darkness, but now they're out of darkness. Come on now. "That you may know that, and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel." Wow. All of a sudden, he realizes that this Creator God knew him by name and had a plan for him. And the plan was, it was a prophecy of deliverance. And it came to pass when Zerubbabel was released by this king to lead his people back from captivity, back to their homeland. See, they weren't just called to come out. This is a Victory Outreach thing. You're not just called to come out of darkness, but you're called to shine like a treasure. You're not just delivered for no reason. You're delivered to become a deliverer. You're delivered to go into a place from wherever you came from, whatever background, whatever history, whatever problem you faced. You're called to come out of that, and then you're called to help someone else to do the same thing. This is key. This is important. Huh? They weren't just called to come out, but to go in, and not just even to go back into the land, but to rebuild the temple. This was their plan. This was Zerubbabel's task, to go back and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, the place of God's manifest presence. We see this in our lives. Huh? You get saved. I remember when you got saved. And you came out of wherever it was that you came out, and everything was fantastic, and it was great, and it was beautiful. I remember when I got saved, you know, in July 1995, all messed up, didn't know what was going on. I got saved, things changed, things were new, things were great, and then opposition came. Oh, is that just me? It was good, but then opposition came. I was free, but then there were hands trying to grasp me and drag me back and grabbing a hold of me, trying to pull me back in. Right? Like Michael Corleone in The Godfather. Every time I try and get out, they drag me back in. Huh? Has that ever happened to anyone? Temptations come. Opposition comes. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They came up against conflict and resistance. And their work on the temple came to a standstill. But then God spoke through Zechariah the prophet. And what he said was basically that God would remove the obstacles and cause the temple to be rebuilt, and that Zerubbabel would lay the final stone, the capstone. It would be done. God's plans will be done. God's will be done. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I believe that if he says something, it's going to happen. If he said that he's taken me out to take me into somewhere better, then something better is about to take place. But the problem is that many Christians, they don't get this. And when opposition comes, they think, well, that's it then. Obviously, it weren't true. Obviously, I'm not the one. Obviously, it weren't for me. It was for them over there. There's something wrong with me. God don't love me. This ain't going to happen. Things ain't going to go my way. The prophecy, obviously, could not be fulfilled. Maybe God's not real. And we go through all sorts of mad gymnastics of mentalities and mindsets when all you really need to do is just trust that if God says it, it is so. Just because you don't see it yet, it's because you're looking from the wrong direction. See, this is the problem. We look at things from the wrong direction. We look at things from now. God looks at things from then, from the future. Well, you never caught that. There's three incredible points to hold on to here. You ready? Are you ready? Number one, take these points down. Understand this. This is going to be a blessing in your life. Number one, God will remove the obstacles in your way. Well, let me say that again with a different emphasis. God will remove the obstacles in your way. Well, let me say it even with a different emphasis. God will remove the obstacles. Well, let me say it again. God will remove the obstacles. Well, let's say it one more time. God will remove the obstacles. It don't matter what stands in your way. It don't matter if it's that person standing in the way of your promotion. Come on now, that don't want to promote you because you're a Christian. Even though you don't go about saying you're a Christian, there's just something in your spirit that jars them because they're living in darkness. And so they come against you. They don't like you. They hate you for some reason. And it's not personal to you. It's the Spirit of God inside of you that's jarring them because it's convicting them of their sin and where they're at. And they don't like it. And so they stand in your way. Has that ever happened to anyone? It's okay. Don't take it personal. Just pray they'll either change their attitude or they change their address. Something. Whatever the obstacle. That's the scripture. It says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You have to understand the Holy Spirit is a real person and he is our biggest helper. He leads us and guides us still to this day. He is active in our lives. He is the voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. He is the light that shines. He is the helper. He is the one that comes alongside you. He is the one that gives you the words to speak. He is the one that empowers you in life. Do you know him? When he leads us, if we'll listen and follow, he leads us always into areas where we can exercise faith in our Creator God, who is always good. And sometimes that means that he's going to lead you into a wilderness place because that's the place where you're going to get trained to become everything that you're going to become. You know, the worst thing that can possibly happen is that you get to the fulfillment of your promise too quickly. An inheritance quickly gained in the beginning will not be blessed at the end, the Bible says. You know why? Because you get into a place of responsibility, you get into a place of freedom, you get into a place of power, and you might not have the character, the wherewithal, the backbone, the sensitivity to be able to deal with it or operate in it. And what happens is it overcomes you and overwhelms you, and you get crushed under the weight of it instead of carrying it. So the Holy Spirit will take us through a training regime. You have to understand what this life is all about. This life is a training regime. Are you with me? If you live for God willing, 80 years or 90 years or 100 years, compared to eternity, it's but a vapor. But it's important what you do in that 80, 90 or 100 years, because the rest of eternity is going to be hinged upon it. So he wants to train us, he wants to teach us, and he leads us. And then the Creator God, for those of us who have been saved by his grace, didn't just save us to merely work for him. Watch this. But to live with him. We're partnering with God in this. You're not just a robot. You're not just a minion. You know, we have to obey God's will, but he wants us to do it with him. Come alongside me. Come and do it with me. That's why in this church, we don't have members. Members get told what to do. Members write down their bank details, and someone holds their bank details and takes their tithes. And in churches, they do that. You know, you have to abide by this. You have to follow this law. In Victory Outreach, we don't have members. You know what we have? We have partners. We have people that partner with us in the vision to see the lost won, to see darkness flee, to see... Help me out, someone. Come on now. I'm screaming, sweating, and spitting up here. Huh? God wants us to live with him, partner with him in fulfilling his will on earth. So when the Bible tells us that he will remove the mountains, the barriers, and the opposition to our progress, God encourages us to get involved in the whole process. See, when he says, I will remove it, he says, what he's saying is, I'm going to remove it. It's going to be my power, but I want you to come along for the ride. I want you to get involved in this thing. See, one mistake we make is we say God's going to remove it, and then we go and lay down in bed. Huh? Jesus rose from the dead. You can't even get out of bed. Come on now. Huh? What's this? Mark chapter 11, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Verse 22, he says, have faith in God. He said, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Who's the one that's moving the mountain? It ain't you. It's God. But you're partnering with him by speaking his word in faith to that mountain, that obstacle, that opposition, that problem, that situation, that circumstance, and saying, get out of the way. I've got a fulfillment I've got an appointment I've got to reach. You're standing in my way. You better get out of the way. I don't care how big you are, because I'm still growing. Hallelujah. Huh? And you might be big, but you ain't seen the size of my God. Huh? Are you with me? Isn't that powerful? That we can partner with God in this. But the fact is, you still have to go through it. You don't need much faith. Sometimes people don't do it because they don't feel powerful enough. Huh? But it ain't your power. It ain't your strength. It's your partnership with the powerful one that sees the opposition dealt with. Huh? It's believing that God cares. Not only he can do it, but he will do it if you ask him with the right heart. Once again, in Matthew 17, 20, Jesus tells his disciples on another instance, he says, I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. You face an impossible situation? You facing a situation that you can't deal with on your own? Well, partner up with God. Hook up with God. Start believing that God is able to do what it is that you can't do. And then believe that he will, because he's good. Why not? Why not? Huh? Some of you, man, you still ain't got no belief. It might take some doing, but he'll be the one doing it, not you. Are you with me? He can do it. I've got 100 testimonies of how God's removed obstacles. How many have you got? Have you got any? Who's got a testimony of how God's removed an obstacle? How he's dealt with a situation. How he's cut through a circumstance. How he's brought you through out of the fire. And you've come out of the fire of affliction. And you've come out free. You've come out gold. You've come out pure. You've come out, you don't even smell a smoke no more. Come on now. And if he did it then, what's to stop him doing it again?
It don't matter how many mountains stand in your way. It don't matter how many roadblocks. If he did it before, he'll do it again.
Number two. We should look at obstacles differently. A lot of times we look at problems as problems. We look at obstacles as obstacles. Change begins when we begin to see things from God's perspective. Because then we'll expect his intended outcomes regardless of what stands in the way. See, God sees things from the end, not just the beginning. God sees the outcome. He don't just see the opposition. When you start to look at opposition as an opportunity, woo, power's going to flow. You're going to start to accelerate in your walk of faith. You're going to see miracles start to take place because you're looking at things through his viewpoint, not yours. Is anyone with me in the house? Huh? Opposition comes in many forms. People can oppose you. Anyone had any people oppose you? Sickness. Anyone had any sickness oppose them? Come on now. Some inherited disease, some sickness, some affliction, something that comes in. Huh? Crazy circumstances. All these things can happen. And even though God doesn't cause hardship, he sometimes allows these things to stand in our way. I remember when Vicky got cancer and the doctors wanted to cut off her leg. You know the story. But in my shower, I prayed. I said, God, why is this happening? We love you. We serve you. We're living right. We're trying to do our best. Why is this happening? What is wrong with us? And all the Spirit of God spoke to me very clearly. I know it was God. It was definitely God because the devil came into my house, or a demon came, manifested in my house and tried to get me to disbelieve what God had said. That means that God must have said it, because he ain't going to turn up, manifest with all of his spooky nonsense to try and get me to disbelieve something that weren't true. And all God said to me was, you must accept what I allow. You must accept what I allow. And then he said, but I'm not going to allow them to cut off a leg. And they didn't, even though they wanted to. Huh? God allows certain things to stand in your way. These obstacles can be seen in the form of the mountain in our text. Why does God allow it? Well, I don't know. I can give you 10 reasons and no answers. That's up to God. You go before God and you ask him why he's allowing it. In fact, better still, go through it and then on the back side of it, look back and go, that's why. Huh? You can't see it from that direction because you're looking from this direction. This is the perspective change. But once you look from that direction, once you look from God's direction, from the back forward, if you know what I mean, from the end to the beginning, you can go, oh, yeah, that one trained me in this, and that one helped me in that. And if I hadn't have gone through that, I wouldn't have been able to do that, and I would never have got there, and I would never have met him or her, and I would never have had that, and my life would never have been that big, so I couldn't have received that. Look at what God says about the mountain. Who are you, oh, great mountain? Oh, you think you're standing in my daughter's way, huh? You think you're standing in my son's way? Ha! Who are you, oh great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, before Lydia, Colin, John, Jack, Bill, Bob, Roshan, Keyshawn, Olu, Jock, Angus, huh? Kirchan, huh? Before my child, you shall become a plain. God flattens the mountain. He turns it into a highway, a roadway. First for us, but then after us, for others to travel on. Woo! See, we're starting to get somewhere right now. See, the mountain that was in your way ain't going to be in the way for your kids or your grandkids or your disciples or the people that are going to get saved after you, because the mountain got flattened before you and then it became a plain for someone else to travel on as well. See, what that shows us is that by his grace and in his power, God wants us to understand that our opposition can become an opportunity when we overcome it. Zechariah was telling God's people, when he prophesied this, not to quit or stop pressing forward, but to overcome. Number three. What you overcome in life becomes a crown forever. What you overcome in this life becomes a crown for eternity. You know how you make a crown? You get a crown from all the ups and downs that you've been through. Come on now. That's where you get your crown, from all the ups and downs you go through. And when you join them all up together in Christ, boom, there's your crown. The things that you've overcome, your sickness, your injuries, the problems that you faced, the things that didn't stop you but got you up, got you on your knees, got you praying, got you believing, got your fight on. Come on now. The things that you overcome become your crown forever. Overcoming obstacles and opposition is actually expected of us in Christ. And wherever and whatever, whenever we do it, there are rewards to overcoming. Look at what the scripture says. And he shall bring forth the capstone. Everyone say capstone. With shouts of grace. Grace to it. A capstone is an architectural term denoting the top stone in a building. Right? It's the last thing they put on. Huh? It's a symbol of completion. The fulfillment of God's purpose. But here's the clincher. What is a mountain made of? Say again. Stone. Mountain's made of stone, right? It's stone. Everyone knows a mountain's made of stone. Huh? What's a capstone made of? Stone. They're actually made of the same stuff. Huh? Listen, this is it. We're coming into a land. God never promised that our lives will be without problems. He never ever promises in Scripture that there will be no obstacles or opposition. But what he does promise is that he will use every obstacle to bring about the fulfillment of his purpose for your life. Woo! So that problem that you faced, that hasn't conquered you, but you've conquered. God takes it, and he takes from the problem, and he uses it to bring about a fulfillment in your life. Even the enemy of our souls doesn't realize that his attacks can be used to bring us to a place of spiritual fulfillment. Some of you know, when you get attacked, if you get flaky and fall down and fail, then the enemy's won. But what about if he attacks you, and he attacks you, and instead of laying down on your back, you actually just get down on your knees, and the attacks of the enemy and the heaviness of the weight of the oppression of the enemy actually put you on your knees, and you're going down, but you're going down into prayer. You're going down hanging on to God. His attacks draw you closer to the one that is able to do all the things that you can't do. And sometimes, let's face it, when everything's going well, you kind of, it's all right, Lord. Life's good. You wake up in the morning, life's good. You wake up in the morning in your nice soft bed, in your nice new house with your lovely curtains. You get up, you ain't put on any weight. In fact, you've lost weight. Woo! Huh? Unbelievable. You get up, you want to go into the day. You want to jump into the day. You put on your new clothes. You go outside and you get into your new car. You drive to your new office to see all of the beautiful people around you. You've even got skinny jeans on. And you go into your day with everything good, with money in your pocket. But Jesus ain't in your life. You left him right there. Are you with me? So sometimes God allows us to go through a little bit of hardship, sometimes to remind us. Listen, I would love to have everything good and remember God in all of it. That's the key, that's the blessing, that's the beauty, that's the fulfillment, is knowing that in everything, whether you are bound or abased, that you are content because you have Christ. I'd rather be rich and saved than poor and saved. But only if I'm living saved. If I could have riches or Christ, Christ. Forget the money, forget the clothes, forget the house, forget the cars. Give me Jesus. Huh? Every problem, every setback, every hardship, every heartache
can be turned into a breakthrough and a blessing if you trust in God's grace and believe Him to make it happen. Every mountain can become a capstone. Every opposition that stands in your way can be a memento, can be a trophy of His triumph. And you will turn around one day and the fulfillment of that season started off as a problem, but now it's become the power of God working in you and through you, bringing completion to the promises, the process, and the purpose of God for our lives. I don't know about you, but that's something worth thanking Him for. Come on, stand to your feet. I'm going to open the altars today because I believe that this is a capstone moment. This is a capstone moment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shireen, the things that you and your husband have been facing over there in Den Haag, the problems with buildings, the opposition, the people that have been in your way, the stuff that's taken place, is honing your leadership. It's helping you. It's softening your heart. That there's an empathy that's growing in your lives. God is going to restore. There's going to come a time when you're going to get that building, you're going to get that place, and all the people are going to come back. But what it's helped you to do is to be able to see the people that are assigned to you and the people that are just acquainted with you for what it is that you can give them. Then you can build on the right foundation in a new place. There are many of you in this place that you've been through sickness, and it's horrible, and it's hurtful, it's heartbreaking. You've been through loss, you've been through breakups, you've been through opposition. There have been bad reports that have been given to you. There have been times of fear for your loved ones and your family. God never caused it. He ain't a bad God. He's not an evil God, but He will waste none of it. And if you keep your eyes fixed on Him and your trust in Him, then He will bring a capstone out of that mountain. And He will seat that upon the top of your life in triumph. And you will always remember that even in the hard times, even in the dark times, even in the night time, when you were weeping, that there came a morning and it was crowned with His glory, that He was there for you, that He never left you, He never forsook you. He was there, He lifted you up when you didn't have strength of your own. He was there, the voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it," when you didn't know what direction to go. He was the one. And there is going to come a crowning in your lives. Once again, I right now, in the name of Jesus, for this church, for people that are here today, I pray in the name of Jesus that there is an ending of a time of opposition. That there is the heart of overcoming, of conquering, of forward progression. There is a fight that is rising up. And we do not war with the weapons of carnality. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. We believe that no weapon that is formed against us will prosper. And every high thing that seeks to exalt itself above the knowledge of God will be pulled down. Every voice of accusation will be condemned. Every enemy will be defeated. This is our hope. This is our faith. This is our prayer. In the name of Jesus, there is a new triumph coming to your life. There is a new breakthrough about to come into your life. There is a new door in front of you that's opening. And it's called destiny. And you just need to step through in faith, following the living God, following in the footprints of our King. Knowing that the mountains are being brought down low, that thing that you overcome is going to become a testimony for generations, that other people are going to draw heart and draw courage from knowing that they have been through, that what they're going through, you've been through. And if you can go through it, they can go through it, because you know the way, and His name is Jesus, that He is there for you. The loneliness, the heartbreak, the madness, the sickness, God is with us, and not only with us for now, but He's with us for generation to generation until the end of the age.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.